Good morning, and welcome to First United Methodist Church. A special word of welcome to all of our guests. We are so pleased that you have chosen this place and this day to worship with us. My name is David Freeman, and I'm one of the pastors, and glad to be with all of you. I want to offer a few announcements, but first, just to remind all of you to fill out the journey card. That's the perforated strip on the back of your bulletin. If you fill that out, tear it off, and place it in the offering plate later on in the service. A little tip, that's the only way to get your name off of the spam calls that you get every day. If you fill that every week, we will contact them and take your name off of it. Don't fact check me on that, but just trust me. That's how you do it. But, we ask every person to do that, whether this is your first time or whether this is your 1,000,000th time here. But a couple of other announcements that I want to make sure that you are aware of. Today, we hope you'll purchase your tickets to the Camp Aldersgate Fish Fry. That fish fry is next Sunday afternoon. But you can get your tickets immediately after the got all that. Immediately after the service, directly outside the sanctuary. So please purchase your tickets to that, because it's a great event, and we celebrate such a wonderful United Methodist organization of Camp Aldersgate. Also, our church is going to have a float in the Little Rock Pride Parade on October 19th, and if you would like to be a part of that, you and your family would like to walk with our float, you can sign up for that on the journey card. So we'd love for you to participate in that, and all the details for that are in our newsletter or on our website. Finally, it's time to start thinking about Christmas, believe it or not. Christmas is right around the corner. We haven't had fall yet, but we're ready for Christmas. Our United Methodist women each year collect items for the Cooks and Hills Native American Mission in Oklahoma to stock their Christmas store. And so all throughout this month, you will see large gold presents like this around the church. You can check our newsletter and the website to find what items they are hoping you will purchase, and then you can bring them and place them in those giant gold presents as we help our partner in ministry, the Cooks and Hills Mission. So keep that in mind as you do your shopping and as you go through the month of October. Again, we are so glad that all of you are here, that your presence is important and means a lot. Today is World Communion Sunday, meaning we are celebrating this holy sacrament with people all over the world. And so our table, our communion table, is more than this altar table or more than just this room. It extends all around the globe as we unite our hearts and our minds with all of our brothers and sisters in Christ across this globe. And so with that in mind, will you stand and let's join together in our call to worship. The east and west, the north and south, God creates beauty and life. From all corners of the globe, God calls us to love and to live and to follow. In our homes and our hearts, in this church and in the world, we sing and serve, we hope and we pray. On this World Communion Day, let us join our voices and hearts with our brothers and sisters around the world. Peace of Christ be with you. Will you take a moment and share the love of Christ with those around you?
To join with me in the prayer of confession as printed in the bulletin. Source of grace and peace, you call us into being. You keep us in safety. You hold us in life. Far too often, we turn from you, placing our trust in the frail promises of other human beings and in your security of wealth. Forgive us. Be with us now. Bring us into your presence. Comfort our pain. Challenge our pride. Enter into our prayer and our praise, that our worship may be pleasing to you. We pray these things in the name of the one who loved us first, Jesus Christ. Amen. Friends, hear the good news. The love of God is beyond measure, and you are included in that love. Know that you are forgiven and thus freed to love and serve. Amen.
Please be seated.
You're on.
Today is World Communion Sunday. It is one of our sacraments. Our other sacrament is baptism. A baptism is something we share in community. Today, I want to invite the Gormans to come forward as they bring their daughter, Elthie Flynn. Instead of a baptism this morning, we are having an affirmation of baptism. The Gormans their family was in town yesterday and could not stay for today, and so they asked if they could have a baptism with their family and friends here at the church yesterday evening. And so we celebrated a baptism for Flynn yesterday evening with family and friends. But the second part of baptism, there is the baptism ritual. The other part is the community of faith that surrounds this child and this family, that says we are committed to praying for this child, for raising this child in a way that they know who Jesus is and how that they are loved, and when they become old enough, they can make that choice for themselves. And so today we celebrate in an affirmation of the baptism we celebrated last night. Part of what we do also is our baptism rituals is that following the service in the narthex, there is a book that we will give to Elthie that she can have her entire life, and we invite each one of you to write your name in the front of that book so she will know who was here and who committed to being a part of her Christian journey. So stop by that in the narthex following the service.
Brothers and sisters in Christ, through the sacrament of baptism, we are initiated into Christ's holy church. We are incorporated into God's mighty acts of salvation and given new birth through water and the Spirit. All this is God's gift, offered to us without price. I present Elthie Flynn Gorman to your love and care.
Annabeth and Colin, you answered these questions last night, but we invite you to make these professions of faith again today, publicly. So on behalf of the whole church, I ask you, do you renounce the spiritual forces of wickedness, reject the evil powers of this world, and repent of your sin? Do you accept the freedom and power God gives you to resist evil, injustice, and oppression in whatever forms they present themselves? Do you confess Jesus Christ as your Savior, put your whole trust in His grace, and promise to serve Him as your Lord in union with the church which Christ has opened to people of all ages, nations, and races? Will you nurture Flynn in Christ's holy church, that by your teaching and example, she may be guided to accept God's grace for herself, to profess her faith openly, and to lead a Christian life. Yes.
Jesus calls us to welcome children into the full life of our community, opening our hearts to those most vulnerable, offering the wisdom of the ages to all who hunger to learn and grow. Do you, all of y'all, Do y'all, who witness and celebrate this sacrament, promise your love, support, and care to Flynn as she lives and grows in the Christian community? May I get an enthusiastic "we do"?
We do.
I want you all to see Elthie. You have been praying for her, Elthie Flynn. You have been praying for her for many months before she was born. You have been a part of her life since she's been coming to church the past few months. And you're going to be a part of her life from here on. You will be teaching her in Sunday school or in Vacation Bible School. You'll teach her how to be an acolyte like her big brother Luke. You'll be there for her senior Sunday and for her confirmation. And when she comes to make that profession of faith for herself, we hope that you will be here to know that you have been a part of this journey and you have taught her what it means to be the tangible love of Christ. This is Elthie Flynn Gorman. Let us pray. Spirit of the living God, once again you have taken the substance of the earth in your gentle hands, fashioned it in your likeness, and given it the breath of life. We give you thanks for the life of Flynn, whom you have entrusted to the world's care. Send your blessing and your peace upon her family, that their love for one another and for you may grow. Help us to see the reflection of your image in Flynn, that we may always see you in her. In Jesus' name, amen.
Today's reading may be found on page 185 in the New Testament Pew Bibles. We'll be reading Philippians 2, 1 through 8. If then there is any encouragement in Christ, any consolation from love, any sharing of the Spirit, any compassion and sympathy, make my joy complete. Be of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility regard others as better than yourselves. Let each of you look not to your own interest, but to the interest of others. Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited, but emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, being born in human likeness, and being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
I believe in love.
Let the church say, Amen. Friends, let's pray together. Gracious God, we give you thanks for the opportunity to gather here in this place, in this space at this time. May the meditations of all of our hearts be pleasing to you. Amen. 15 tough and burly men gathered in a sparse room, filled with enough chairs to hold their bodies, plus one for the mediator. The room was diverse in color, shape, and size, but that didn't mean that these men didn't know each other. In fact, they knew each other quite well. They didn't know each other as friends, but rather, they knew each other as enemies, gang rivals. Opposite sides of the room could have been created, holding that side over there in contempt, in rage, and in suspicion. But creating more dividing lines amongst these young men was not the point of their coexistence in that very, very small space. The intention, in fact, was quite the opposite. You see, ROCA, an organization in Chelsea, Massachusetts, that uses the circle process to give gang members a way to deal with conflict, gathered these men with opposite street devotions in order to help change the landscape of Chelsea, Massachusetts, and to show these men that there is a different way of engaging with one another despite their differences. And if you've never seen a circle process in action before, let me set the scene for you. The circle process has roots in the ancient tradition of the Maori in New Zealand. It's a way of dealing with conflict that allows perpetrators of harm to take responsibility for their actions, to give the victim or the survivor a means of closure, and to cultivate a way of coexistence together. Restorative justice, they call it. And knowing that about the circle process, imagine what it is like to have mortal enemies, gang rivals, sitting so closely together, getting ready to share in conversation that is the last thing that they are used to talking about. A little nerve-wracking for the mediator. But that is the work of the circle. As someone who believes wholeheartedly and in reconciliation and in the good news of the kingdom of God that bridges people across divides, any circle process has become holy ground for me. Any circle process to witness is sacred. And it's even holier ground to be the mediator of that circle. But why? Why? What is sacred? What is sacred about the mere gathering of people into a common space? What is sacred about the act of navigating life together with people that we have deemed the other? What is sacred about speaking our own truth and listening in love to those with whom we disagree? What is sacred about those things for me? The intentionality of the circle, the intentionality of the process, the journey towards reconciliation that these gang rivals were going through is sacred because it was a space and an experience that resembled the act of the table. It resembled the call of our gathering to take part in this feast. Circle processes that are full of conflict that have often caused a great deal of trauma between participants That is a reflection of the work being done at the communion table. I was watching the work of God unfold as these enemies told their stories. As individuals who are often quicker to talk and to act more than they are to listen. I heard confessions. I heard confessions and apologetic proclamations for acts of violence. I had heard stories that gave the other guy a human face. And as we wrapped up the circle for that evening, it was asked, "What has this experience in circle done for you thus far?" And one man sat back and said, "What I learn in circle in here shapes what I do out there. What I experience in circle with these guys in here has changed how I see them out there on the street." The circle was changing him. The gathering was changing him. The intentionality was a reorientation of their life together. And verse 3 of the scripture for today says, "Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourself, not looking to your own interest, but each of you to the interest of the others." Moments of humility. Moments of confession, moments of sitting at the foot of the story of the person that we have othered most of our lives, changes us, transforms us. And to put a faith lens on the experience of the circle, the Holy Spirit moves when we gather across dividing lines. Do you see the sacredness of that journey of reconciliation? Can you see how the divine of that circle, of that time together, is the divine work of our gathering around this table? I didn't truly understand the work of the communion table and how the communion table changes us and changes the world until I saw it on that night in Chelsea, Massachusetts. The themes of that circle process, the themes of that restorative justice moment are the same themes of our faith in Jesus that set the kingdom of God apart from the rest of the world. Bringing your whole selves, no matter how bruised or broken. Authentic engagement within the community. Honest conversation with confession and accountability of our wrongdoings. And recognition of the humanity of those with whom we disagree. Circles change lives. The table changes lives as we gather. And you see, that man on that night summed up the work of the communion table, and he didn't even know it. The table changes us. And changes the world. The table, our gathering, changes us as individuals who then go forth out into the world to change the world, to proclaim the good news of hope and of grace and of justice. Both and us inwardly and us outwardly. The faith work that we do in here is not the end of our faith story. The work that those members did in that circle is not the end of their story together. They have a story out in the world, just as we have a story out in the world. We are fed. We are fed and we are nourished by grace. Grace in here to take this very bread and cup out into the world to feed a hungry world. Both introverted and extroverted, both in here and out there, both works of piety and works of social holiness, both inward tending to our own souls and outward work in the name of the kingdom, in the name of justice, both and. Are you more comfortable with one over the other? Do you tend to focus more on social issues outside of yourself? Or do you tend to be more reflective without action that is a witness to God's heart made within you? Church, one cannot exist without the other. Here at this table, we are nourished and prepared for the both and ministry of Jesus in our lives and in the world. Here we are nourished to make our hearts new, to speak our truth and to listen to those who gather with us, to confess and to reorient our lives. But both and. This transformation within our own hearts, our commitment to our spiritual tending, requires something of us. It changes me out there, he said. The transformation found in our nourishment at this table in here changes us. We need both and in order to live lives in the faith. We need both spiritual tending to our hearts and our hearts made of a fierce justice that calls us to take our experience out on the street. So as you gather at this table, as you gather at this table on this World Communion Sunday, may you remember that you also gather with thousands more. May you remember that this table is a place where you also gather with your enemies, where you also gather with the people that you've othered. This table, it's not just for you. It's not just for me. It's for anyone who seeks to know God's grace. And that's the tricky part of the table. Feasting next to those with whom we've othered. But what I've learned in here has changed me out here. It's known that the more enemies and communities gather in the intentional practice of the circle, the more their hearts are transformed, the more they find a way to coexist together in the world. And the more we gather at this table, the more we gather at tables, the more we, as people of Jesus of Nazareth, prepare ourselves for life out in the world, the more that we gather to practice confession, to practice reorientation, and to practice the proclamation of grace at this table, the more that our lives out there become tables of truth-telling, tables of forgiveness, tables of community, tables of reconciliation with the other. I believe that was the table of that circle on that night in Chelsea, Massachusetts. And I believe that that is the intention of this table each and every time we gather, to restore ourselves and reorient our lives. I believe that is the work of the kingdom of God. And I believe that is the world that our God intended for God's people. Both and. That's the good news of the kingdom of God. And so may we proclaim that today, and may we proclaim that forevermore. Amen.
It takes a bold faith to believe that simply gathering in this place and praising God's name, offering our prayers, can change the world. It takes a bold faith to believe what we do can change what happens out there. And yet that is why we gather. That is why we gather around this table. Because we believe that this matters. That who we are and the lives we live and the gifts we give matter. So in the moments to follow, our ushers are going to be among you receiving the gifts that you are willing to give. May you also reflect on the lives that you are living in the name of Jesus Christ.
Friends, this is the joyful feast of unity. Christ has gathered his people around the earth to commune at this table. Come, come with your doubts. Come with your hopes. Come with your inadequacies. Come with your strengths. Come, for this is the table where we are all invited and all are welcome.
Vengan. Vengan con sus dudas. Vengan con sus esperanzas. Vengan con sus deficiencias y con sus fortalezas. Vengan. Esta es una mesa donde todos son invitados y todos son bienvenidos.
Komm. Kommen Sie mit Ihren Zweifeln. Komm mit Ihren Hoffnungen. Komm mit Ihren Unzulänglichkeiten und mit Ihren Stärken. Kommen Sie, weil an diesem Tisch sind alle eingeladen und alle willkommen.
Venez, venez avec vos doutes, venez avec vos espoirs, venez avec vos insuffisances, avec vos forces. Venez, car ça c'est une table à laquelle tout le monde est invité et tout le monde est bienvenu.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is right to give our, is right and a good and a joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Lord God Almighty, creator of heaven and earth.
You created for yourself a world filled with diversity and blessed by your breath of life. Rainbow colors bloom in spring, summer breezes bring garden delight, and now, as autumn comes, we see the work of your paintbrush upon every face and tree. In mercy, while we still held to the chains of our winter of pride, self-righteousness, and historic egos, you loved us steadfastly and delivered us as babes to reflect the beauty and diversity of your grace, to bring us into a community of love, hope, and peace. And so, with all your people on earth and every place where two or more are gathered in your name and all the company of heaven who have gone before us, we praise your name and join their unending hymn.
Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest.
Please be seated, friends. Holy are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. He healed the sick, fed the hungry, and ate with sinners. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. Christ prayed that we might be one, as he is one with you, Almighty God. And he asked that we might be known by the love that we have for one another.
On the night in which he gave himself up for us, he took bread, gave thanks to you, broke the bread, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me."
When the supper was over, Jesus took the cup. He gave thanks to you, Almighty God, and he gave it to his disciples. He said, "Take and drink, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins." Anytime you drink from this cup, do so in remembrance of me. And so, in remembrance of these your mighty acts through Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us. as we proclaim the mystery of faith.
Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again.
Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and cup. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we, together as a new creation and a new community around the globe, may be for the world the body of Christ redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, help the body of Christ be one. Help the left hand and the right hand work as one in ministry to all the world. Help the eyes and the ears sense your present and coming kingdom. Bring the blessing of the diversity of the body to bear fruit until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. This we ask through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit in your holy church. All honor and glory is yours, Almighty God, now and forever. Amen.
Friends, may we now join our voices together as the children of God as we pray the prayer that Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory.
Table. We invite you to come to one of four stations at the front. You can receive kneeling at the rail or by intinction at the outside stations, and then there will be a station in the balcony for those who want to receive. Sometimes people like to leave a monetary gift at the rail when they receive communion. It is not an obligation, but it is welcome if you do. All of that goes to our communion fund to help our neighbors in the community. But these are the gifts of God for you who are the children of God. Won't you come and receive?
friends, we are a holy community seeking to live faithfully and boldly out in the world. You are invited to join us on that journey. So if you are interested in joining us and serving and praying and working in our community on behalf of the kingdom of God, I invite you to have a conversation with us. We'd love to get you plugged in to this wild and holy place downtown. As we continue to worship together, won't you lift up your hearts to the Lord?
Friends, we have received words of encouragement, words of challenge. It is time now for us to go and share those words of hope, words of joy, expressions of grace with the people we meet beyond these doors. Let us go and serve our God. Amen.